Be Hope Church. It is such an honor to be with you. And, you know, I was thinking during worship is, you know, Jesus only goes places he's invited. So it's amazing you could be in a faith-filled service and never get touched. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, ladies. He will never intrude a space in which he's not invited. So, Be Hope, I want to challenge you. Worship is not the time for you to be late. Catch this. Worship is not the warm-up for the message. Listen. God, this is so beautiful about our King. Listen to this. God manifests himself in a unique way in a corporate setting. Listen. You know why we must be in one mind and one accord in worship? Because God manifests a part of himself that he won't do when it's just you and him. Listen, so worship, no matter how you feel, is an opportunity to declare how he feels about you. So if you come in burdened, and listen, it's real, but it's not your reality. He is Jehovah Shalom. So if you came in wearing anxiety, his peace will overcome it. So you don't gotta feel like it. It's not about how you feel. It's about what's already true about you. I don't know who that was for, but receive it in Jesus' name. I also want to give honor to where honor is due. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Brad, his wife, his family. Thank you guys. This staff as well. You know, it's a lot that goes into a Sunday morning. Y'all spoiled, man. Y'all don't even know. I've been traveling the country for 20 years from California to Maine. And that's not an exaggeration. Y'all are spoiled. Don't take it for granted. What you have here, don't take it for granted. Some of you need to get involved. You playing around. You need to serve. You know what culture has done to the church? We've allowed culture to dictate the kingdom. There are no takers in the kingdom. It's all givers. So some of you been taking long enough, it's time for you to give. And I ain't just talking about serving. Some of y'all need to give financially. You playing around. The gospel ain't free. So you might have to give up Starbucks for a couple weeks. Come on, somebody. Trust God with your money. Give it to the house and let God change this community. That's all I'm saying. I don't know who that was for. That was not in my notes. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to share my story. I rarely preach without sharing it. I normally don't share it in a place that I've been before, but the way Be Hope is growing, I'm sure there's many of you have never heard me preach. So it's going to give context to who I am and by God's grace, able to stand in front of you today. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for the honor and privilege of being in the most significant place on the planet, which is your church. Holy Spirit, you are already here. So I just acknowledge your presence and say, welcome. You will not be grieved. You will not be offended. I give you complete reign and authority. Holy Spirit, I ask you to articulate the Father's heart through my voice to your people. I pray that every ear is open, every heart is open, every mind is open to receive that which you have for us, even our Ironton family and online family. Thank you that you're omnipresent. Your presence is everywhere. So it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, church, would you agree? Amen. 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 Yo, can we give it up for our worship team? Shout out. Thank y'all so much. Grateful for you. So the Bible says that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So the quickest way to get Satan out of your life, number one, is believe in what Jesus has already done. And that brother ain't dying again. It is finished. So Jesus did his part. Then he said, by the word of your testimony. Every person in here has a testimony. If you do not, we're going to remedy it by the end of service. Come on, somebody. But it does not matter the journey. It matters that Christ is in it. So we all got a story. When you share your story and God get in your story, you make his story. Oh, that's good, Lamoris. I know, man. God, in his infinite mercy, has invited mankind on the greatest journey ever. No other creature can go on this journey. I'm about to preach. Listen, God of the universe has invited you personally on a journey with him. I'm from Chicago, born and bred. Man, shout town then. What's up, man? Feel me?
South side.
I'm from, so I grew up on the south side of Chicago in the housing projects called Augier Gardens, where my grandmother raised 9 kids as a single mom on welfare. And when I was 10 months old, my mother was murdered at the age of 17. I've never met my father, don't know who he is to this day. She had my brother at 14, had me at 16. She was shot in the head at 17. My uncle was in a gang. He was murdered, shot in the head at 17. My aunt was in a domestic violent relationship. Her boyfriend murdered her. She was 28. And I had another aunt that died from a brain tumor from asbestos in the projects. So my grandma raised 9 kids, 4 died. She raised 9 grandbabies on welfare in the project. So I grew up with a huge question mark on top of my head of who am I and why am I here? I did not understand why life happened to me the way it did. And my grandma did the best she could with what she had. My grandma was a hustler, B. My grandma died at 72 years old, never having a driver's license. My grandma can take $10 and feed 14 people. Y'all, my grandma was such a hustler. She will bum a ride off of you and you will pay her gas money. Real talk. So my grandma raising 18 kids basically did the best she could with what she had. We wasn't made to go to school. No one in my family finished high school. No one went to college. My desk sat next to the teachers. I was a kid that was in trouble. I was a kid that was suspended. There were 2 reasons why I went to school. Number one, I got a free meal. I was on a hot lunch plan. I knew if I went to school that day, I would eat. Because brother was coming home, hustling, eating syrup sandwiches, sugar sandwiches, powdered milk. I would literally sit in the back of class. I would steal kids' lunches out of their book bags so that I could have food after school. The second reason why I went to school is I love gym class. Come on, somebody. We ain't go no PE. We went to gym class. Remember the old red dodgeballs? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all remember red dodgeball day was fight day? Hit me again, you getting smacked. Right? Now, in this generation, they got Tickle Me Elmo dodgeballs. You play dodgeball, now you laughing. Boom. No. That's PE. I'm talking about gym class. And I remember picking up a basketball, and for me, it became an escape of reality. It didn't matter that I was a dirty kid on the block, no parents, alone, abandoned, poor. When I got a ball in my hand, you couldn't touch me. And I got real good. And so that became 94 feet became a safe haven for me. And so I began gang banging at an early age, and I was selling crack cocaine by the age of 14. By a miracle, and I mean miracle, I made it out of eighth grade. I don't remember doing homework. I don't remember doing an ounce of work. But my grandma, come on somebody, met with the school board, and I don't know to this day what she said, but they allowed a brother to walk across that stage. Come on. So by a miracle, I made it to high school. My high school was 2,500 kids. I was turnabout king, homecoming court, prom court. I was voted the most athletic out of my class. I was the most popular kid in my high school. But nobody told me at the end of popularity was emptiness. Let me park here and look at you. This is real. I'm going to be 100 with you. Never allow another person's opinion of you to become your reality. Listen to me. All these rappers, they heathens. They rap about the same thing over and over again. Don't let that become your reality. You can wait till you get married to have sex. Come on, somebody. You don't have to get high. You ain't got to drink. It solves no problems at all. I would get high thinking my problems would change. Because everybody say, you dealing with this, let's go drink. Guess what? Nothing changed. Getting into relationships, thinking that will fill the void in my heart, nothing changed. The truth of the matter is the void got bigger. And when the void gets bigger, you do more dumb stuff. So I remember at 18 years old being completely broken. Y'all, I mean broken. I had all this stuff, but had nothing. And I don't mean physical stuff. I mean, put my identity in things that I thought would fulfill me because of my brokenness. And I was being recruited out of high school to go hoop, to go play ball. I was like, give her brother a scholarship to Alaska, send me to Africa. Come on, get me up out of here. I ended up scoring a 14 on my ACT. How many of you think you go to college with a 14? Raise your hand. You better not raise your hand. You chilling with me at community college. Ain't nothing wrong with community college. I'm just saying. If you ain't put in the work, you won't get the success. So I ended up taking a scholarship to a community college. I played 1 year of basketball there. And when I was 19 years old, I had an encounter that changed my life. I didn't encounter religion. I encountered a person. And it came through my first cousin. He was 16 years old. He had 300 kids under him in a gang. 300 at 16. He meets this girl, walks her home. Her dad locks him in the living room and tells him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gave his life to Christ, set me down, told me the gospel, I accept the Christ. From that one decision, I finished at that community college with an associate's degree, transferred to Olivet Nazarene University, got my bachelor's and master's degree. I'm the first in my family to go to college. Come on, somebody. I've been faithfully married to one wife, 15 years, 4 kids. Come on, somebody. My wife and I were the team chaplains to the Bengals for 8 years. We've been working with pro athletes for 12 years. We are now married to family pastors at a church in Greenville, South Carolina. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, real quick, some of y'all thinking, what does that story have to do with me? We from Beaver Creek, Ohio. You know what I'm saying? I know my audience, you feel me? And I could crack any white joke I want. Because my in-laws are white, and my father-in-law sitting right over there. So I got full permission on any white joke I want. So here are the two things we got in common. Number one, you got to die to leave here. You got to die to leave here. Ain't none of us escaping this piece of life. None of us. You get one shot at life. What you do with it is on you. Amen. And I am convinced with every fiber of my being that God has called you to leave a mark with your life. You are not here by accident. Amen. Listen to me. You know what the tragedy of life and death is? It's not dying. We got to die to leave here. The tragedy of life and death is going past a cemetery and thinking of all the books that never came forth, authors that never came forth, preachers, pastors, inventors, men and women dying, not living up to their God-given potential. You are sitting on someone's idea. You are wearing somebody's idea. They left their mark. You pull out cash money, there's a dude's face on your money. Ain't none of us never met Benjamin or Washington or Franklin. Them brothers still talking. In 2,500 cities across America, there's a Martin Luther King Boulevard. Your kids get a day off of school. That brother left his mark. Everything God creates, he creates on purpose for purpose. There's nothing incidental about your life. God said, like be. God spoke and put the sun in that. How many of y'all saw the sun today? That brother ain't complaining. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, seed time, come on, summer, winter, cold heat, it will not cease. Brother, I had to wear a hat today. Listen to me. Those things are still fulfilling its purpose. They were spoken by God. God put his hands in the dirt and made Adam. Listen, you are made in the image of God. You know what that word image translates? Selfie. God took a selfie and made you. He been killing the selfie game before this generation. Come on, somebody. In other words, if the sun is still doing what it's supposed to do, seasons are still happening, seeds are still planted, fruit, vegetables are still coming forth, how much more you who were made in his image? All right, I got to move on. The second thing we got in common, you born a sinner. You come that way. It ain't your mama fault, daddy fault, greasy grandpappy. Adam jacked us up. Can't wait to get to heaven. I got some questions for David. Come on, somebody. I got to holler at Moses. There's a lot of people I'm having tea with. But one of the first people I'm beelining it for is Adam. I'm going to be like, bruh, you realize you plummeted the entire human race? What were you thinking? Because of Adam's choice, sin abides in man. One man's choice did us in, but God had an insurance policy in place. You know what it was? Eve's womb. Because Adam sinned as a man, Jesus had to come as one. So God created the most sacred space on the planet, which is the womb of a woman. Catch this. Because he is the spotless lamb in the womb of a mother, the blood of the child and the mother never mixes. So Jesus was literally the spotless lamb. Why? He had to do for us what Adam couldn't. So because of our sin, it separated us from a holy God. God put an insurance policy in place to reconcile man back to himself through his only son, Jesus Christ. That's why we can boldly say he is the only way, the truth, and the life. So don't be listening to all these people out here wasting their time. They're going to have to stand before that same God. Why? He died for the sins of the world. And that's why salvation is a gift. And don't get it twisted. Heaven and hell is real. Yeah, I took a long pause there for real because don't nobody talk about it. Right? And one of my favorite quotes from Gladiator, I love this. What we do in life echoes in eternity. So your decision for eternity starts now. It's decided on earth. Boy, it's quiet and be hope. All right, now I can get to my message. Come on, somebody. Well, I thought that was the message. I mean, that was a long intro. If you can't have fun in church, man, I don't know where else you. Shouldn't be boring. The world is already boring. Stop letting them influence us. We're the light of the world. There should be something different about us. You kidding me? We should be producing the best music, movies. We should be influencing culture. Some of y'all got gifts in here that you haven't released because of a lot of things. Let it go. If I could title my message for our time together, it's stop robbing people. Stop robbing people. And here's the premise of my message. Whenever God wants to get something in the earth, he does it through a person. And when you do not live out your God-given calling, your God-given purpose, your God-given destiny, you rob the world of what God wants to get to it. Let me say it again. Anytime God wants to get something done in the earth, he does it through a person. When you do not live out your God-given purpose, you do not give your gifts, you do not humble yourself for God to use you, you rob the world of what God wants to get to it. So we're going to talk about Elijah really quick. How many of y'all know the story of Elijah in 1 Kings? Let me give you a quick little bio of this brother. That brother prayed and shut up the heavens from rain for 3 years. One prayer. Living out his God-given destiny. By the power of God, he caused fire to rain down from heaven. Remember on Mount Carmel? The 450 prophets? That brother caused fire. Living out his God. Giving the children of Israel the gift that God put in him. Remember he gave the widow woman an unlimited debit card to Walmart? Remember that? She just kept pouring that oil. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't know y'all had Walmart in Bible times, huh? Remember he raised the widow's son from the dead? What is he doing? Living in his purpose, living in the calling, giving the children of Israel the gift that God put in him. Remember that? He prayed again and it rained again. Remember that? Remember in that rain, he told King Ahab to go back to the city? And the Bible says that Elijah beat him to the city gates. That brother outran a chariot. Read the story. Living out his purpose. But then he received a message. How many guys ever received a message that changed your life? This brother received a message from a woman. No disrespect, ladies. I'm just saying. It was 1 Kings 19:2 says, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, the prophets you killed, I'm killing you by this time tomorrow. And our Bible says Elijah ran from a woman. That brother ran from a mountaintop to a cave. Let's pick up the story. 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 8. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave, Lord have mercy, and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altar, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king of Assyria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king of Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Now it's amazing. that in church today, if you read more than three scriptures, you can feel tension in a room. The culture has produced a real. If it ain't a minute, I don't want it. We will scroll past. You want a real instead of wanting a real. We have got to stop allowing culture to dictate the kingdom. We are the changes of the church is the hope of the world. I mean, you read more than five scriptures, it's like, ah. Come on. Listen, Christianity is the only religion that calls us for maturity. We got to grow up. Paul said, I desire to give you meat. God is desiring to give you meat. But you will always fill yourself with what you appetite for. Like the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is look at Facebook. That's what you're appetiting for. Checking your social media likes before getting in your word, that is your appetite. So don't blame God for the things you permit. God does not determine your hunger for him. You do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We got to show the world what it means to mature in love. You know why racism sucks? I love this, doing worship. All y'all white people was clapping on the first and third beat. I was like, but I looked at all the brown people, they were on 2 and 4. See, racism won't let us clap together. The Bible says that God has given us, the church, the ministry of reconciliation. We need your 1 and 3, just like y'all need our 2 and 4. Come on, somebody. A law ain't gonna fix that. It's a sin issue. Y'all, this feel different than all the other services I done preached. So Elijah, this brother in a cave. How do you go from a mountaintop to a cave? I'm going to give you 3 keys to fulfilling your God-given purpose. Number one, give no space to fear. Give no space to fear. That brother heard a message from the scriptures are very clear, a messenger. Jezebel didn't send 5,000 troops to that brother. One voice sent him to a cave. What voice that you hear sends you to your cave? Is it from a teacher who told you you weren't going to amount to anything? Was it from a spouse who belittled your image by their words? Was it an abusive relationship? What has sent you to your cave? Fear and faith cannot reside in the same space. What is fear? If you take your notes, fear. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. I'm a CSI fan, and I remember watching the episode one time, and there was this professor killing folk. Come on, somebody. This brother was crazy, but he was real smart. So he would kill people, and he would mix up the whole crime scene because he was a scientist. So by the time the investigators got there and they investigated the crime scene, they would be going west to investigate, and he already went east to kill people. Why? He planted false evidence. I believe the enemy has planted false evidence in the hearts and minds of some of you. He has told you you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're too fat. You're too ugly. No one cares what you think. You won't never get that job. Nobody cares about your gifts. Let me tell you, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. If Satan can get you to doubt God's word, he gets you to disobey it. Elijah went from hearing clearly the voice of the Lord to going in the cave. Fear gripped his heart. Now, fear can be present, but that's a difference than embracing the spirit of fear. Like if I get in a car accident, fear can be present. but not the spirit of fear governing my life. All right, listen, look at the text. Y'all know this verse, right? Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. We always read 7, but we never read 6. Come on. Listen to what he said. Therefore, I remind you. I am here to remind you. When you come to church on Sunday, Pastor B is here to remind you. Y'all been watching series that does nothing for your faith. Y'all scrolling, wasting time. You can never get back when you could be developing the inner you. You got to remind yourself. Listen to what he said. I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. See, the context of this verse is Nero, the ruler of the day, the emperor of the day, set fire to one of the largest cities in the region, and he blamed the Christians. He was saying that, remember those Christians was talking about the Holy Spirit and fire? Well, they did it. So now Timothy, who's pastoring the largest church in the area, is scared because they persecuting Christians, taking them, putting them in jail, killing them. So Paul had to write him a letter to remind him, stir up. That word in the Greek, stir up, means to inflame. Put back on fire that thing that I gave you. This is what God is saying to the church. We should be on fire. He says, stir it up. Why? Why you need to stir it up? Stir it up. Why? He tells him, because God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You mean to tell me God has given you the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind? Why is this important? Because Elijah went from a spirit of faith to a spirit of fear. And it gripped his potential. It choked his potential. God is not giving you that spirit. That's from the enemy. Let it go. I wish I could sing. Boy, I'll rock that song. Let it go. Let it. That ain't my gift. See, I recognize it's not my gift. I'm cool. But you got to let it go. Fear is not your portion. Faith is. Come on, somebody. Fear. False evidence appearing real. God has not given you that. Why? Because fear steals courage. And fear steals courage. I don't think y'all caught it. Fear steals courage, and fear causes you to stand still. No. You got to move. You got to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say stand still and do it. Fear causes us not to witness or invite our neighbors to church. Fear causes us not to ask our coworkers to come on out to church. It steals us. No, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's who you are. It's not who you're trying to be. The moment Jesus rose from the dead, it sealed your identity. In the garden, it had nothing to do with no apple. I don't know why we think it was an apple. Isn't that weird? We don't know what kind of fruit it was. It could have been a fruit we ain't never seen yet. But that incident in the garden had nothing to do with no fruit. Satan wanted their identity. See, Satan knows something about God that most of us don't. He saw him in heaven. He watched God's character. He knew when God gave a word, God will hold himself to it. The Bible says we are in a blood covenant. All covenants are shed by blood. Jesus' blood sealed you in a covenant with the God of heaven and earth. Do you know what that means? See, if we don't know what it means, we don't understand the benefits we get. Do you know what that means? That means the moment you say yes to Jesus, your identity is shifted. Paul says you was crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you. The life you now live, you live by faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you. That's who you are. It ain't who you're trying to be. God is not into behavior modification. He's into heart transformation. So Elijah, who was a prophet, went from a place of a mountaintop to a cave because the enemy got his identity. And if when you read the rest of the story, you see him moping around till his life is snatched up. This brother, no, you want to go with me? Don't come. If you see me, then I'll give you the double portion. We got Christians moping. Well, you know, Pastor Brad didn't speak to me in the lobby, so I guess he doesn't. No, this is real. Well, you know, I served one day and it didn't go the way I wanted, so are you kidding me? Listen, I'm going home. I love y'all. My job is to speak the truth in love. But y'all feeling what I'm saying? Stop giving fear a place in your life. It's not from God. Number two, you got to ask yourself this question. What are you doing here? Two times God asked Elijah, God, y'all, God told that brother to come out the cave. You know he didn't move? An earthquake came and that brother didn't move. A firestorm came and that dude didn't move. A tornado hit, bro, and he didn't move. You think a still small voice made him move? You know how long I've heard this preach, Pastor B? If you read the beginning of the text, God told him to come out. He never moved. So then he sent the earthquake. Then he sent the fire. Then he sent the... And that dude didn't move! Y'all, I'm from the projects on the south side of Chicago. Let an earthquake come. I'm snatching a baby and I'm out. Y'all on y'all own. Let fire start. I'm snatching a baby. I'm out. Y'all on y'all own. Let a tornado hit, B. I'm snatching a baby. My two boys are here. I'm getting my boys and y'all on y'all own. Peace. As a matter of fact, when this text was translated, the translators could not believe that Elijah heard silence. It made no sense to them. So they put still small voice. Do your research. It's amazing. When I found this out, that actually the text made more sense. So Elijah thought God left. Now let's read it from there. Check this out. This is amazing. Listen to this. Go out, stand in the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, and the wind and the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, the Lord was not in the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, Elijah heard silence. You hear that? See, if you be quiet, you can hear silence. Listen to this, y'all. So it was, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle, went out in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God surprised him. He was still there. No matter where you were in your life, God is still there. No matter what you're facing, God is still there. No matter what you've been through, God's still there. Even when you feel like God is quiet, he's still there. He's only calling you to obey him. Come out the cave. Come on, somebody. So you got to ask yourself, what are you doing here? Why are you still in that negative relationship? What are you doing there? Why are you still on the phone gossiping? What are you doing there? Why are you posting comments on people who are so ignorant? It makes you wasting time. What are you doing there? You in the fence? Why are you, what you doing there? Bitterness, unforgiveness, what are you doing there? Come out the cave of bitterness. Come out the cave of unforgiveness. Come out the cave of racism and hate. What are you doing there? If we're going to be the church, if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we got to come out our cave. Come on, y'all. We got to be bold. I pray this prayer nearly every single morning. Father, I thank you for spiritual wisdom and understanding. I thank you for boldness to speak the truth in love in this perverse and crooked generation. I pray that every morning. Why? We're going to need boldness in these last days. Look at what 1 Peter says. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. There's corruptible seed on the inside of you. It's incorruptible. What are you doing here? You are not here simply to exist. You're here to live. Number three. If you're going to live out your God-given purpose, you got to walk by faith. Come on, somebody. This is all God was asking Elijah. Come on, man. I got you, bro. You seen me do it before. I got you again. Why are you running from a woman? You got to walk by faith. Listen, what you hear determines what develops in you. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word. You know you can faith in stupid? Do you know criminals who are in prison had enough faith to think they would get away? Why? Faith is a seed. If I sow an apple seed, I get an apple tree, not an orange. So the seed from the word of God is what develops faith. Not your own mustering up plan to think you're going to do it the way you want to do it. Go ahead, try it. It's going to fail every time. Come on. So God is saying, whatever the purpose is, the thing I've called you to do, the things I've called you in purpose is going to be by faith. Come on, worship team. It's by faith. This is one of my favorite verses. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without the word, because faith comes by. So without the word, it's impossible to please him. Oh, we'll be on Facebook, but we won't read our Bible. And wonder why we don't have enough faith. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Everybody stand to your feet. God was saying, Elijah, listen. I put a gift on the inside of you. And you know what's else amazing about this story? Whenever you're in a cave, you feel like you're alone. When you read the story, God said, no. I got hundreds of prophets. Why? The enemy wants you isolated. This is why community is important. Do you know when a lioness goes hunting, she prays to the lion God that one gazelle will break from the herd? She knows she can't get them all. She only need one. So when you break from community, you make yourself a bigger target for the enemy. Don't make Sunday an option. Don't make small group an option. Don't make, what's the red thing? What's the class? Hope Unleashed an option. What's the other class? Hope Discovered. Don't make it an option. You know where we missed it, Pastor B? This is the church is the place where we incubate the gifts of God's people. God put a gift in you for the body. You ain't gonna get it out there. You're gonna get it right in here, but you're gonna have to break through fear. You're gonna have to ask yourself the question, what am I doing here? And you're gonna have to do it by faith. Because it's by faith that we please God. So you're gonna have to take a step. But the first step is saying yes to Jesus. All of this is meaningless if you don't know the one who gave himself to give you life. So every head bowed, every eye closed in this room, no one looking around. I'm gonna give you an invitation. Maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I ain't say Savior, Lord. Or maybe you have and you're away from the Lord right now and you wanna make things right. I just wanna lead you in a simple prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's simple, but it's an act of faith. So if that's you, I'm just going to count to three. You want to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or you want to be back in relationship with him, I want to lead you in a prayer. If that's you, just slip your hand up. 1, 2, 3. All over the room. Thank you. No shame, no guilt. Keep it raised up. Keep it raised up. Be bold. It's your act of faith. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put him down. Now, as a family, Be Hope family, our online community, our Ironton campus, I need all of us to pray this together as a family. So, but for those who raised your hand, I need you to mean it by faith and humility. Say this after me. Say, Father in heaven, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I thank you for coming to the earth, bearing my sins on the cross, being buried in the grave, yet raising again on the third day for me. In you alone I give my life. In you alone I give my heart. Now, Holy Spirit, fill me in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, y'all. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord some praise.